Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rick Robinson live from the 2500 aisle of the American Library Association, where we have been sitting around podcasting and talking to some of the award-winning authors that are here at the ALA 2019 Washington, D.C. This one is really exciting for me because I get a chance to talk to someone who has written a novel that kind of looks like one of the ones that I have written in the past that has some of a similar setting. So, Lois Rehnquist, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And you are here because Late Harvest Green was one of the award winners in the Next Generation Indie Book Awards.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very cool. Now, okay, first off, Late Harvest Green takes place in
Idaho. That's
right. You're from California.
Right. Well,
why Idaho? Okay.
Well, I grew up in Idaho.
Okay, there we go.
Yes. And so the setting is Idaho. It's the Idaho that I remember, although I've been back many times, but I live in California. But the whole setting is the 20th century through an Idaho farm family. So it's kind of a family saga. And it goes, my mother...
Yeah, give me a little bit of the feel. What's going on in the book here?
Well, Denver, it starts in 1955, and Denver has just lost his wife. And he's a farmer, but he's really at sea. He really doesn't know, because she did a lot of guiding and helping him. And he's really at sea. So it starts with their relationship, and then the family that he goes back and talks about the family he already has, because he has four children and his parents and all of that. So it goes back and tells the family history up
to forward,
and then it goes through the end of the century and new people and new relationships, and there are war is part of it, because various members were in World War I and in World War II, and then in the Vietnam War. So it's also the impact of war on the family.
The conflict that happens over the conflict, right?
That's right.
Right. I think that happens in every generation.
Yes.
And each generation. You know, that's an interesting point, because it seems to me that as you look at the different wars, conflicts, and the things that we've had, it's very much a generational thing how the families and the soldiers, sailors, and airmen have all been treated in that whole era, in each one of those conflicts, in
yes.
each one of those wars, and how their family thinks of them as well.
Right.
Does that come through in the book?
Yes, it does. And there are two brothers, one who comes back really not only a literal cripple, but kind of an emotional cripple. And then his brother came back and seemed to be better for the experience. So, and the family is very broken up about all of this, of course. So,
right. And so you take this family history and you only take it up
through about the end of the last century. Yeah.
Okay. You wanted them to party like it was 1999. I get that. Okay. So you're encapsulating that a century worth of a family story.
Right. And the other thing that it does, the other thing I thought about at the time that my mother died was how much change there was in the world in that century. And like for her, they started out on basically a dirt floor cabin. And then, of course, at the end you have big homes and you have computers and you have everything that we're familiar with now. So there's a huge change of technology throughout that century.
You know, I think in that century, I think one of the interesting things that happened and it was the change in travel. Because,
yes.
I mean, you had the start in that century of literally horse and buggy.
Right.
Then you had cars, then you had trains, then you had airplanes.
Exactly.
And you had space travel. You had all of these things happening.
Right.
Supersonic jets. And maybe that's a good reason why you stopped it, because when you look at the next century, it's not a matter of travel, it's a matter of information.
That's right.
That's
a very good point.
Two different big changes that are going on in
yes.
the different centuries.
So I think the thing that I think you're absolutely right, and the thing that I hope would stay with readers is not the setting and then the characters. because, like Denver, who is the principal character, his story really goes throughout the whole thing. And you see how he's changed by all the things that happen to the family and as things evolve. And so the character and the Idaho farmland is really almost a character because that's where it's all
set. Oh, sure,
set.
Sure. I wrote a book several years ago called Alligator Alley. Like you, I don't live in Florida anymore, but I was born there.
Uh-huh.
And my great uncle lived on a reservation on a Seminole reservation out on Alligator Alley.
Uh-huh.
And Alligator Alley truly became part one of the characters. I get it. He became one of the characters
right. In
the book.
Right.
And the whole idea of the flashbacks and everything else.
Right.
Did you have, because I had problems with this, did you have problems with setting the past tense and the present tense and the future tense as you were doing the actual writing?
Well, some. I've written two other books before this, and I wrote another one where there's flashbacks and it goes back and forth. And I've taken classes and keep working at it. But, yes, you have to make sure that those flashbacks work.
Yeah, I just, because I was always having trouble kind of putting in my own mind, let alone in the mind of the readers, making sure we're in the right place
at the right time.
That's
right.
You know, and in my case, the final chapter is present tense.
Oh, okay,
I mean,
right.
It's actually as it's happening. So it was this whole switching back and forth of voices so many times. But it also sounds like very much like the book that I wrote in that, come on, Lois, it sounds pretty autobiographical, too. It's in a fiction category, but
right.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of Lois going on in this book.
Well, of course there is, but I'm not a character in it.
Right.
And it's not about my family. That's important to say that because your family always, you know this. Your family always reads themselves into it.
Every time you write one. Absolutely.
Right. So some of the story about the oldest part that is flashback has some relationship to what my father's family did, but these were not people that I knew.
Okay.
They were gone before I was around. So, but no, the rest of it is definitely characters that I made up. But it is the setting that I know and that I know well.
Yeah, my book was straight up an homage to my great uncle. So, I mean, it was you know, a little bit different. Everybody in the family knew who it was. In fact, I had to actually go to his granddaughter and go, you need to know I'm writing about Uncle Chip. Yeah,
we get
that straight first. So the autobiographical comes through probably more in the feelings and expressions
of the
new characters that you're creating.
You're right. You're exactly right. My feelings do come through the other new characters, right.
And it is the angst of what? Family change?
Family change, and part of it for me is how dramatically war impacts these people and how it goes on. Long after the war, like long after the person comes back from the war, because one person in this is really damaged and damages the family from what happened to him in the war. He just came back and could never get it together again.
So that's an aspect. Let's dig into that a little bit. Is that what you want people to take away from that by this book, that they have to deal with those types of issues in families, and how are we going to deal with it? Is that one of your takeaways?
I would not call it overall a sad book, because there are a lot of very happy things that happen in it. But you know, like in your family and my family, good things happen, bad things happen. People get married, people die. And you go through all of those things, and that's what life is.
We have to process them all.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's what, by the time you're my age, you know, that makes for wisdom and some appreciation of the good things.
By the time you're age, and you are just a lovely 23 years old,
I want to point out,
so as we go this. Hey, as I want to make sure, we got a few minutes left. I want to make sure you're out in California, you're doing this. Are you working with some of the libraries out there?
Yes.
To do that?
Yeah. This is published by, I live in Benicia, but it's published by Benicia Literary Arts. And we work with the Benicia Library and the city of Benicia promotes us. They actually, we get some money from them for the Benicia Literary Arts. So the community.
But if somebody wants to get a hold of you then at a library out in California to do a presentation or talk about the book, where should they go?
Absolutely. Well, my website is www.loisrequist.com.
Okay, so we go right to the website.
Right.
You have a link there for your contact information and everything else.
Right.
First time, you've written before? This is your first time at ALA?
It's the first time at ALA. I have two books before this one.
What do you think about ALA?
Well, it's kind of overwhelming.
It is. I tell you what, I've been going to conferences for 12 years, and some of these, I think the first time it is overwhelming. What do you think your one takeaway will be when you get back?
Really talked to some really nice people and learned a lot. It's well worthwhile.
Good. Thank you very much. Lois, your book is The Late Harvest Green. It is one of the award winners of the Next Generation Indie Book Awards that they had the big awards program for the other night. I'm Rick Robinson. I am live from the 25 here at the American Library Association 2019 in Washington, D.C. Lois, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.